All right. Welcome to a new edition of Shabbat Lounge. This is Matt.
And Jake.
And we want to thank you for being present, being here, and taking a minute to tune in and see what we have on Sabbath Lounge. And I do want to take a minute to remind you that we do have a website. It's a blog, and we post this, and there's lots of different things there, how to contact us, where to find us, just all kinds of things. And so pretty much if you Google Sabbath Lounge, this will pop up. We also have a YouTube channel, and you probably are watching this on that, and you know that. But if you don't, right now we're sitting a whopping 37 subscribers. And so if you're not subscribing, why not? Look yes. at this.
You're missing out.
So we really would appreciate it if you would subscribe. And, you know, and it's, we just want to try to help get out the word of Torah and walking in the commandments to as many people as we can. There are a lot of people. Would you say this, Jake? Are there a lot of people waking up out of churches?
It seems that way, yes. I have no statistical, you know, reference to go by, but just in my life, it seems that way.
And if you find yourself in that category, waking up to this new Torah thing, which is really actually the ancient old path, but we were in church at one time too.
Yes.
And we sit in a pew and listen to a preacher and fell asleep a few times, many times, maybe every time for me.
Not sitting in the pew, listening to some stinkers. Mm-hmm. So,
yep, been there, done that.
Yeah. So,
but we hope that you find what we have here to be refreshing and enlightening. And so our last podcast, we did a kind of a different one. And we talked to a guy about how to use the sun to make steam to make a power plant. So, and
yeah, this one here.
Yep. So you should check that out. You can click on that. It'll take you to the YouTube video and links to those things. And we even post there's slides that that go with it if you want to view that as well. So something looks strange so there.
Check that out.
But we do appreciate your time today. And so today we are going to talk about like many things that we do. Sometimes we start by talking about one thing, or maybe this is, we're at the wrong place. And maybe this is just how I do things.
In the middle. Yes. That's where we want to start.
But a lot of times I'll start with a concept and, see, that was a new skill I just showed off, Jake.
Yeah. So we're going to try to do that a lot throughout this video. So,
and make you dizzy. But so I started off with the concept of rod and staff. And it kind of morphed. And so the title, Jake doesn't think the title really fits it anymore, but we didn't really think of a different title. So we're kind of, this is the title.
So it fits.
Yeah.
So, but
we did start off with the concept of the rod and staff and just started exploring, you know, what does that mean? And of course you think, you know, Jake, why do you think I chose the scene here?
Well, you see, because it appears there's shepherds. And they're guarding a flock, and you know you need both a rod to protect your flock and a staff to correct your flock, or some such. That's what
else?
I would think.
What else would you do with the staff with your flock? Do you think?
Grab them. I always think of a staff as having like a hook on the end, and a rod just being a stick that you can whack stuff with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's just in my mind how I see it.
Well, I think about predators too. Mm-hmm. You know, you could wield off a predator.
Yeah.
So just like I used a rod the other night with a couple of bull snakes. So I went to get eggs and there are 2 4-foot-long bull snakes eating eggs. Hmm. And so they had to go. Some guy asked me, he's like, well, did you relocate them? No, I didn't
relocate them. relocated them into the... Without a head.
Yes.
Yes.
So, I mean, yes, I could have, I guess, relocated them, but that would involve me getting in the car in a bucket and driving down the road and then just giving someone else a potential problem. But bull snakes are a good thing. But anyway.
or the snakes escape into the car, and now, yes. now you're
snakes
you're
on the plane, into the ditch. Right. Snakes in the car.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I didn't do any of that. But there is a concept. If you've ever had animals, and if you've had children, if you've had a family, you know there are times when you got to use a stick to for discipline and protection. You know, you got to keep the wolves away.
Yeah.
It's definitely lots of tie-ins to daily life there. So, you know, what's the difference and what's up with the almond? So, as we begin to see, I think we want to hide this.
Jake. Hide that. Yep. Yeah. We don't want people seeing that.
That's right. So, but what's the difference between the rod and staff? So we're going to take a look at that, and we're going to also see a lot about the almond in here. So, and so Jake has been a worker of wood before. So Jake, have you ever made a stick, walking stick?
I've never made a stick because Yahweh makes sticks. Ooh. And I've always thought I can't make a stick better than Yahweh.
Good point. Although,
when I worked in Pittsburgh, there was one of the security guards. He would always have a new stick. He was whittling walking sticks, and he got in trouble for that. But it was interesting. He made some pretty neat walking sticks.
Well, while we were doing this, I had to pause the recording because I realized. Had examples. This is a staff that you could buy. Now, it's not made of almond that I'm aware of.
Let me hide this one so we don't give away that.
But I don't know.
It's made of wood, it would seem.
Mm-hmm. Seems like a good one. It's a big one.
Yes.
And then this one is one that we started when my youngest was a Cub Scout. And this one came from the tree of a crepe myrtle.
Ooh.
Not an almond, but it made a good walking stick. And he put his name on it and did some tooling. And then we started collecting medallions for different places that we went. And that worked good, but it's kind of hard to put these on this. But you know, today you might do something like this. And I kind of suggest that this is a good practice to do, especially with your children. Or I did it with my youngest. And I'm glad we did, because it kind of serves as a record of some of the things that we did. But now it seems real puny to the bigger one that he has. But
yes, this one, you could knock this over
you
with.
You could. So, but these, you know, they're useful tools, you know, as Jake does his Jedi skills. Jedi's probably bad, but these are definitely very useful. Just, you know, if you've ever been on a trail, there have been times when you wish you had a stick, especially if you've gone navigated down a stream. You know, it helps you keep your balance. And
well, you've run into a snake.
Yeah. It does serve as protection. Does a lot of good with the bear, I think.
You go ahead and take this stick and go fight a bear.
First, find a mama bear and their cubs. Start there.
Get between them.
This stick, you can do no wrong with this one.
Exactly. Right here.
She will just run in fear when she sees this.
That's how it happens.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, those are good visuals of that, and I challenge you to kind of think about, you know, symbolically, as I picked that one up, I was like, I should have one, you know, too. I don't know why I don't.
Yeah.
But it is a good symbol, maybe with your name, your family's name on it or something. But anyway, back to the almond.
Right.
So the almond was a commonly used, and you can find, if you just go look for almond furniture, I mean, people still, it's not like people don't make stuff out of almond.
Yeah, it's not one you hear about a lot, but it's definitely out there.
And we found that its relative density is similar to oak, so it's a fairly hard wood. It's not like it's super soft, and that's what makes it good for these other things. And but it is interesting. It's a pretty wood. It's a useful wood. So you know, so it was also very common tree in the Middle East. They still is today. Yeah. So they like Mediterranean climates. But so there is kind of a reason why almond was used. So let's look at what it says about how Moses got his staff.
Ooh, interesting. Mm-hmm. So let's check it out.
And so in Jasher 77 is where we find a reference to Moses and his staff. And that's what this is. And so, Jake, if you will read that.
I will start at 41. Well, let's just start at 38. And afterward, Moses went into the garden of Reuel, which was behind the house, and he there prayed to Yahweh his Elohim, who had done mighty wonders for him. And it was that while he prayed, he looked opposite to him, and behold, a sapphire stick was placed in the ground, which was planted in the midst of the garden. And he approached the stick, and he looked, and behold, the name of Yahweh Elohim of hosts was engraven thereon, written and developed upon the stick. And he read it, and stretched forth his hand, and he plucked it like a foolish tree from the thicket, and the stick was in his hand. And this is the stick with which all the works of our Elohim were performed, after he had created heaven and earth, and all the host of them, seas, rivers, and all their fishes. And when Elohim had driven Adam from the Garden of Eden, he took the stick in his hand and went and tilled the ground from which he was taken. And the stick came down to Noah and was given to Shem and his descendants until it came into the hand of Abraham the Hebrew. And when Abraham had given all he had to his son Isaac, he also gave to him this stick. And when Jacob had fled to Padan Aram, he took it into his hand. And when he returned to his father, he had not left it behind him. Also, when he went down to Egypt, he took it into his hand and gave it to Joseph, one portion above his brethren, for Jacob had taken it by force from his brother Esau. And after the death of Joseph, the nobles of Egypt came into the house of Joseph, and the stick came into the hand of Reuel, the Midianite. And when he went out of Egypt, he took it in his hand and planted it in his garden. And all the mighty men of the Kenites tried to pluck it when they endeavored to get Zipporah his daughter, but they were unsuccessful. So that stick remained planted in the garden of Reuel until he came who had a right to it and took it. So I believe that's talking.
So who was the he?
The he is the Moses. Hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think we need to talk about Jasher for a second. You know, it can be controversial, and I understand that, and I'm not saying that this is Torah, but I do think it's a piece of the puzzle that is interesting, and it can fill in the gaps of some of these stories. And when I saw this, I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. And it made me think, what story does that make you think of?
A couple stories, but initially it makes me think of the sword and the stone.
Yeah. Yeah, does seem like they rip that off. And so many times we find that a lot of stories are ripoffs of some truth.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't surprise us that that could be a possible thing, but nothing like how it's told in that story. But, you know, I like that. It's an interesting story. So basically he's got this daughter and he's like, whoever can take this stick can take my daughter. And all these guys are like,
and Moses no one can pluck it.
Yeah, Moses comes along. He's like, you mean this old stick? So, I mean, it seems like it's easy. It just comes right out of the ground.
Yeah.
So, and it's an interesting concept that it was passed down, you know, started with Adam and continues to be passed down. And then there's a whole rabbit trail that you could chase, which I didn't really do in here, but I just wanted to introduce you to it, that this concept of that maybe Yeshua's crucified on an almond tree, and an actual tree, and not a fashioned, and there might have been a beam that was fashioned to attach to that tree. Some people say the crucifixion, he was actually on a tree. I don't know, but it's kind of an interesting concept, because there's even a connection after David kills Goliath, he goes to Jerusalem, and the legend is that he goes to the place that becomes Golgotha, and he puts Goliath's head on a staff of an almond and plants it in the ground. And then later Yeshua is crucified at the exact spot, and that the Ark of the Covenant was even buried in this mountain, and his blood drips down on the mercy seat at crucifixion, which is kind of like, whoa.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we're not doing that today.
Yeah, that's some rabbit trails there.
Definitely. a few breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
I like to leave. But go back to Jester. And Jake had some thoughts. And
yeah, so
we're going to have to switch. Hopefully we can do that
do
in
it
here.
Successfully.
And so we'll have to exit full screen. And yeah. Then there's some scriptures we wanted to take a look
so
at.
So if you go back to the, here, let me drive real quick. Yeah. If we go back here. So right here where it says, this is the stick which all the works of our Elohim were performed after it created heaven and earth. So to me, I don't know about you, Matt, but to me, this kind of gives it like a Gandalf kind of situation.
Oh, we may have lost our camera for a minute, but it came
okay,
back.
Okay, good. It's back. Okay.
And it may do that from time to time.
Only the best technology.
That's right. Only the best. This is, we're relying on Wi-Fi and it's just the best.
Yes. In the IT department.
But yes.
So to me, this has a feel of like some kind of wizard wielding a stick to create things. Mm-hmm. And when I first read that, I was like, I don't really like the characterization they're giving Yahweh here. And then I got to thinking a little bit more and, who is the rod of Yahweh? And it's Yeshua, right?
Mm-hmm.
He returns to pour out judgment for Yahweh. And he, and then this idea of all these things were created using this rod, this stick, which would be Yeshua, right? And then if we look at 1 John, this is kind of the tie-in that I was running into. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then similarly in Colossians 1, verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So I started looking at that and I was like, well, you know, there is some tie in there that makes sense. And also when we think about this stick, this rod, imagine it being Yeshua for a minute. It's passing on to Yeshua is passing on to from Adam to Abraham, you know, Noah, then Abraham, and then all the way to Moses. And, you know, it talks about Yeshua was with them in the wilderness. We know that he existed in a form in the Old Testament. And so to have him, it kind of builds that story for me.
Yeah.
When I'm looking at it.
No, that's good. That's really interesting. And you also, if you Google Rod of God, you'll see this referred to as the Rod of God for sure. So, but it's definitely an interesting concept that you see. And the kind of starts there with this Jasher 77. So, you know, check it out, research it, you know, make your own opinion about it. But definitely don't be afraid to go look at it and just know that we don't necessarily say we're not saying this is Torah,
right?
But another resource. So as we go on, I think it's important early on to take a look at this word. So do you know how to properly say this? Because I'm bad at words.
This guy knows.
Oh, you
Shakad.
Yeah.
Shakad. I don't know what the two dots are.
Shakad.
The A. That means long
Shakad.
Shakad.
I don't know. Hooked on phonics.
Yeah.
So did us wonders apparently. but this word does get translated into almond tree, almonds, the nut. And so and also if you go look up the word for watchful, it's like the same word.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. So I don't think that's an accident. There's definitely a concept, and it's a concept of being watchful. And we're going to kind of break down the almond and why it's considered watchful.
Yeah.
And how that relates. So just remember that word. Go, and like I said, go look it up. Go research it. The internet is sitting right in front of you.
Especially if you're watching
this. Yes. Uh-huh. So this is easy to find. Just pause the video. Go search some of these things up, and you will find all kinds of things. But there's a lot of craziness out there, too.
Yeah. So be careful.
All right. So kind of early on, I can't remember, it was during this year's Torah portion when I kind of started looking at some of this stuff, and I found this, stumbled across this website called Mini Manna Moments, and they had like a part 1, 2, and 3, but it's kind of weird because I saw that it says part, it said part 3, but I don't know. I couldn't find all the parts. So Mini Manna Moments, if you're out there and you're listening, please make this connect all these dots. Maybe yes. You forgot, didn't have time.
Maybe
I totally understand.
Maybe we don't know what we're doing.
Maybe it's operator error. That very well could be. So I wanted to click on that and take us to there for a second. So you could kind of see. And so I recommend you going to look at Mini Manna Moments. And like I said, the internet is going to go in and out. And so our face may go in and out too. But so they kind of started connecting these. And they start with Jeremiah, where Jeremiah says, I see a branch, a rod of an almond tree. And they break out that almond, now they have it, shaked. I like that. Is it easier?
That's easier, yeah. Easier mm-hmm. breakdown.
And so so they break it down.
And Jeremiah was insightful, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm, he was. And then the root word for almond, shaked, the same word for awaken, to watch. To be watchful, and they break it down, and we're going to look at some of the same things here, but I kind of wanted you to know kind of where I started, and they did a good job of putting it all together in one place, and they have a lot of good images of the almond trees. So and we're going to look at the concept of these trees being watchful and woke, and
got to be woke.
That's right. So, but anyway, this is a good place to look and to kind of start your search. And I do think they did a good job of connecting some of these dots and all the way to the menorah. And so we're going to kind of piggyback on the work they did. In fact, I've reached out to them and I would like to talk to them at some point. Or I've reached out to a couple of people here and we just haven't heard back from them. But I would like to see how they kind of got there.
Yeah.
So back to here, there's a part 1, there's a part 2. If you click on the part 2, it's more similar. And this one says connection between the almonds, olive oil with Messiah and the lampstands. And so this is considered part 2. And they have a lot more pictures of the almonds, the branches. And so I did use some of the same images that they had in here, the root of Jesse. And of course the menorah. So, but I just mostly put that in there for references. I also have this as references. There are different links here for a YouTube video, and I will publish this on the website, and there'll be a link. There should be a link at the bottom of this video. And you can click on those for more information. And, I think they actually may be in the same video, but they may have started at different times or something. So let's look at this. And so it's an almond tree. So Jake, have you ever, did they grow almonds where you grew up?
No, that was not a thing. No,
they don't grow here either. Does it remind you of any fruit that you've ever grown or seen?
It reminds me of a peach that didn't grow with its fruit.
Exactly. It's like, just like a peach or an apricot, if you had apricots. Did they grow apricots?
We call them apricots.
Apricots.
Because there's no monkeys in our apricots. Ape.
Know. Oh, gotcha.
I know apes and monkeys are different. Okay, but let's be honest.
Harambe. Oh, sorry.
That's a throwback.
Yes.
Too soon.
Yes.
Too soon. It's too soon.
I live in the past, Jake. So full of dad jokes,
yes,
that are terrible, but yeah, to me this looks a lot like those fruits, and it's because they come from the family called stone fruit.
Yes,
and we'll talk more about that later. But
so, what's the deal with the almonds, Matt?
What is the deal with the almonds? So a lot. So these are some more images of kind of how the fruit, how it goes from the flower to the fruit. And it breaks down the blossom, the bud and the blossom. And so if any of you are growers of things and gardens, you've seen this many times and understand how this works. But and then they have Aaron in the priesthood, and so there's definitely a connection between almonds and the priesthood.
Yeah,
no doubt. And it makes sense that if it started with Adam, that the staff in the priesthood gets passed down from Adam. So the life cycle of an almond. So this is true for all almonds. Jake, I grew up with cotton in the cotton field. And so my grandfather would teach me how to read a cotton plant. And so there were certain times of year you did certain things. You watered, you fertilized. If you fertilized at the wrong time of year, you would make the cotton throw off its fruit and just grow leaves. Mm. And so there's definitely an art and a skill in growing cotton, and you had to do it in the right time. And I think a lot of trees are like that. A lot of plants are like that. And when you're cultivating them, if you fertilize them at the wrong time, they just put on a lot of new growth and they don't put on fruit. So I think there's probably a lot of life lessons there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But to make any kind of fruit. And so people don't think about cotton as a fruit, but that's what I know. Almost
any fruit.
it kind of is. It's not edible, but it grows very much like a fruit. And okay, so
that's cool.
That's I guess a different discussion, but there are a lot of things that grow like that where they make a flower and the flower is beautiful, brings in the hummingbirds and the birds, the butterflies, the birds and the bees, gets pollinated. So
yes, that's how it looks.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually the flower dies. And it looks ugly and it just drops off. But underneath that flower, there is something forming.
Yes. And yeah, that's with most, pretty much any thing you're growing.
Mm-hmm. Anything that makes a flower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your tomatoes,
mm-hmm.
All that.
Even native plants like a Turk's cap. It makes a flower and then eventually it actually makes a cap. Yeah. And you probably aren't familiar with the Turk's cap, but it's the world I live in. But with the almond, it follows that same pattern. But what makes it a stone fruit is it's protected by this very hard outer shell. So do you think you could like pick up an almond and just start munching on this hard outer shell?
There's probably some processing, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
You probably like boil it or fry it or something. I don't know.
Fried almonds.
Well,
I'm sure someone.
I know that sounds silly, but isn't that what they do with peanuts?
Yeah. You got to. A lot of things have that hard outer shell.
Yep. Yeah.
And the stone fruit. Guess what? The peach, the apricot, they're all also stone fruits.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting, but you have this concept of this very hard outer shell and it starts off green, it's alive, and eventually that outer shell dies. And when it dies with heat and stress, and typically most places in the world, when you get heat of the summer, I don't know if it does this in Pennsylvania, but clearly, now that it does this in Texas, it doesn't rain as much. Is that true in Pennsylvania or is it still raining?
No, it rains quite a bit, all year.
I guess it just depends, but a lot of places, and I would say here we're in Texas here and we're similar on the latitude line and on the world to what you have at, in Israel, but they're Mediterranean, but generally in that kind of line around the world in the summertime, it gets hot and dry.
Yeah.
So in the summertime with an almond, it gets hot and dry. That outer shell dies. It eventually cracks open. And it reveals the new life that's inside, and Jake, does that sound familiar to us? Should that ring some bells?
It sounds like there's some biblical truth that ties into that very nicely, actually.
Yes. Yes. And so there's a link to this as well. So this is the righteous branch, and this is, they call it the cycle. And so they go on to talk about the almond tree as well. So, and you'll see a lot of tie-ins to the same things we've already talked about, but this is what that hard outer shell looks like. And so it's green, it's fuzzy, it's kind of soft at some point. And then it does
like
just
a pecan.
Yeah. And then it cracks open and you see the seed inside. Something that, and then when it's ready to be harvested, this is kind of interesting. So you shake the tree, and so the tree gets, you know, and before they had shakers, today they've got big machines that they hook up to a tractor and they just shake the tree and all the almonds fall down. But how do you think they did it in ancient times?
Tennis rackets.
Tennis rackets.
Yeah.
So so they beat the tree.
Yeah.
And so they would beat the tree. And which is kind of interesting for this fruit to be gathered, it has to be beaten.
Yeah.
I think there's another tie-in.
Yeah.
So they beat it, they strike it, they shake it, the seeds fall to the ground. And then reading right here, they separate the seed, and the almond is considered a very good thing. They actually, I guess they have almond oil.
Well, they have almond milk. I mean, yeah. I've never seen it.
I've never milked an almond.
I've never milked an almond, right.
So I can put that on a t-shirt. So when the seeds are crushed, they yield a golden oil. So I guess they can use it for flour and meal.
So if you crush it to get oil, what do you do to get milk?
I don't
know. I'm so confused about the whole almond milk thing.
I don't know.
Sounds gross.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway.
So, and there's this whole concept of the branch sleeping and awakening. And so there's just so many tie-ins to our biblical walk. And we're going to go through some more of those, but that's kind of the, I wanted to put that link there so you can research it yourself. And I highly encourage you to do that. So Jake, what do we know about the almond tree?
Well, the almond wakes up in the spring, as most plants do.
Mm-hmm.
But in this, one of the first
plants. Yes, it's considered the first. So here in, I realize it says it burst forth. Sorry.
Ooh.
Forth.
It does that. It does burst forth.
Forgot the TH on the end. But here in North Texas, the red bud is kind of like that. So the red bud's one of the first trees that we see that bloom out early. And Bradford pear also blooms out really early here. So where you live, there may be something like that, that you know spring is really close. This typically happens kind of February-ish. So
February is the middle of winter where I'm from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. But it bursts suddenly, you know, just and it's a marker of a spring is here. And so it's shaped like an eye, which is interesting.
Oh, right. Being watchful, like we said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It goes back to the same root word, which was shockhead. Which was connected to being watchful, watching for seasonal changes, and then what about the priesthood?
Right. Well, we know it's connected to the priesthood, Moses and Aaron. And and also that rod goes into the ark.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron's staff.
We just watched that last night, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Was there an almond branch in there?
No, I don't think. I think they left out some important things in that movie.
Hmm.
But
it's a documentary, like, right?
No, yes. Sorry, that was definitely a rabbit trail. But Raiders of the Lost Ark, yes. Not sponsored this in any way.
No, if they would like to, you can reach us.
Yes,
go to the website.
Yes, George Lucas. Our phone is George Lucas. Who did that one? Steven Spielberg.
All of them.
George Lucas was Star Wars, and so it would be. Spielberg, and the music guy was
Hans Zimmer.
No,
he does everything.
Starts with a W. I can't remember right now.
But, oh, it was what's the guy's name now? I can't think of it with the W.
Yes,
he's real big right
he
now.
He does everything.
See, we're real up on our pop culture.
Yes, we are. Yes.
Yes.
So anyway,
so the guardians of the Torah. Were the guardians of the Torah, right? They would make sure that it carried on, and right, to be watchful and woke.
Oh, can you be a guardian if you're not watchful and woke? I mean, I guess you can.
Not a good one.
Probably
not a good one.
And but there are probably many parents, I would say, that are not watchful and woke. They should be.
Yeah.
But just so many tie-ins. So what do you think? I put a line in there about Phineas. What do you think about Phineas? Does he fit the bill?
Phineas fits the bill, I would say, because, you know, he had to be watchful and paying attention to notice the goings on in the camp in order to take action. So mm-hmm. seemed like he had his eyes out.
And do you think the concept goes beyond just being watchful and goes to action?
He didn't just watch it happen. He took action. He watched so that he could take action.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Shema. It's to listen and do, not just listen.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the almond.
In English,
like the,
is Hero Israel, right?
Yeah.
Shema.
Yeah. So this is
listen
like
up,
the
people.
The visual sense of Shema here with all this almond talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the parallel of the 10 virgins.
And I think in both of those stories, there's a lot of implications to everyday life. You know, it is easy to get caught up in the being watchful, and we can be so worried about what we see happening in the world. Well, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And we can be all focused on that. And there is a time to be active, and I think you can be so looking at you can be watchful, but should we be watchful about what the enemy's doing or watchful about what our Father is doing?
Yeah, you can be watching the distraction while, you know, you're getting flanked from all sides.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And I do see a lot of people in our movement can be, we all do it. You know, I like the train wreck as much as anyone else. You know, back in the farm in West Texas, you know, there wasn't a lot going on. And sometimes you'd see a fire off in the distance and grandma would be like, hey, Matt, let's get in the car and we're going to drive around. We're going to see what's happening. And we'd go drive and see what was burning.
Yeah.
Did they do that in Pennsylvania?
Well, one time a few years ago, we had seen on Facebook, maybe. We were getting ready for hunting season. Oh, that's a good place to pause that video. We were getting ready for hunting season. And my dad saw on Facebook, I guess it was, that there was someone had hit a deer up the street. And we were like, oh, let's go check it out. So we jumped in the car and went to check it out. So kind of the same thing, mm-hmm. only, mm-hmm. you know. I guess, is that nosy? Is that considered nosy? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Some people said we were too small, so I made us bigger.
Okay, good.
But I do think it's human tendency to want to go check these things out, right or wrong. I mean, I've definitely been a part of that, you know, and it seems like there was something else. After a storm, you know, a big storm comes through, you know, I still like to drive around and see what damage has been done.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we do like to watch the train wreck. Not that those are bad things to do. You know, it's good it's good to know what's happening, but sometimes you can make it your focus, you know, just sit around and listen to the news all the time and have Fox or whatever it is that you want playing in the background. I don't think that's always good. You know, you just fill your mind with all these terrible, perceived terrible things. And
what does scripture tell us to focus our thoughts on is things that are good and
mm-hmm.
and pleasant and happy and mm-hmm. truthful.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, we watch the news. You got to remember that I don't care what news source you trust. They're people. They're flawed. They have agendas. They have opinions. They are paid to say some things. You know, people don't stop and consider who's advertising on this show. You know, if they're advertising gold and silver, they're probably talking about how awesome gold and silver are.
Yeah.
You know, if their advertisers are selling food, they're probably trying to tell you to buy some food, survival gear.
And you got to make the case, like, the government's going to come get you. So get your food.
Yeah. Yeah. It all ties together. Yeah. And by the way, we're not selling anything here.
No.
So
we could, if you want us to. No.
That was good. So the almond tree.
See, now you've made us too big.
I know.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
There, that's perfect.
Okay. So the almond is the first. The olive is the last. Jake, are there any tie-ins? Can you think of some Hebrew letters, maybe?
There's the olive, which sounds like olive, but that's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And the tav, which doesn't sound like almonds. But so you got the olive and tav.
And the tav looks like a cross, doesn't it?
Sure I'm no Hebrew scholar.
Pretty sure the tav looks like a cross, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So the almond's the first tree to bloom out. The olive's the last. What about the oil thing?
Well, you gotta crush both these things to get oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't sound pleasant.
Yeah. So what's the deal? Why are you equating almonds and olives? You're saying we need to first start with almonds and then end with olives?
Yeah, I explored that a little bit and thought about that, and I never really got anywhere. But, you know, I started thinking, does he want us to be more like an almond tree or it end up an olive tree? Is there that concept? And I don't think that he's trying, that the Torah is trying to tell us that. I do think it's more of what we'll talk about here at the bottom. But, you know, the holder on the menorah is supposed to be like a little cup.
Yeah.
The almond.
It's the almond, right?
Mm-hmm. Holds the oil, and that the olive is the fuel for the light. And so there's a whole light tie-in.
Yeah, it takes both of them.
And you've got the root word of watchful, you got the root word of light.
Mm-hmm.
And so what about the wedding analogy?
Well, yeah, so you have the two becoming one. You need both the olive and the almond joined together in one miraculous happening in order to make the light.
Yeah, which, you know, is an interesting tie-in. And I think that's why I got – we paused again. That's why I got to the concept that it wasn't about the almond or the olive being better than the other. It's not about that. That it takes both of them to do this, just like man and woman.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. And then I saw a lot of tie-ins to how the menorah is like represents the burning bush, that is something that's burning and doesn't get consumed.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen that.
That's interesting because the almond is a wood. Now, I know in the menorah it's a gold, but you do have the symbolism of a wood on fire that doesn't burn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I hadn't made that connection. That makes sense. So the almond definitely represents the old man that we must die to. We get rid of the old life and we begin to have fruit, this resurrection power. So we'll shed our old garments, our filthy rags, get transformed into a new body and get a new soft heart and not the stiff neck. So I don't know if you ever listened to Michael Oman, but in his latest podcast, he talked about the stiff neck and having a soft neck, which is kind of an interesting concept of, you know, the soft neck is more submission and, you know, humbling yourself, you know, bowing down, where the stiff neck, you're upright, you're proud, you know, I'm not bowing to nobody. Seems like I've seen people talk about that.
Yes.
Yes. Here recently.
That's recent.
So kind of interesting, you know, what you're really saying when you, but I have heard a lot of people say, I will bow down to no one except for Yeshua or God or, you know, and I mean, that's biblical. There's a lot of reference to that. People like Daniel, he definitely took that stand.
Right.
And that's an action.
Yes.
Anything else you'd say?
No, I just like the idea of the, of having the almond as a, you need, it's this hard stone fruit, hard heart kind of situation that you need to get past, but you can't not start with that. You have to get past it. And it's like we were talking in the previous slide where you need both the olive and the almond, the almond and the olive. And you need to transition from the almond to the oil, basically, is what you want to get to. You want to be compressed and crushed from your almond state into this oil state.
Which is more usable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's good. Good observation. So there are some places where you see almond. And so we'll start off with loose, which is interesting because if you know Spanish, do you know Spanish?
Some.
So I believe the Spanish word for light is pretty close, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And so Jacob goes to Luz and also became Bethel, the house of God. Most people believe that's the very spot where the temple and the Holy of Holies is. And then we have Jabal Alaz, which many people, and myself included, believe that that's the real Mount Sinai.
Right, in Saudi Arabia.
And Midgal?
I think it's Migdal. And I think everywhere else we have it, Migdol.
Yeah. But
do your own research.
That's right.
Figure out how to talk for yourselves. We are not speech teachers.
No, clearly.
Yeah.
And but in multiple languages, it's interesting that it does get translated into almond. I believe it was Romanian or a couple of different places.
That's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, huh. And, you know, there's got to be an ancient tie-in there. So. Mm-hmm. Because at first when I was researching, I was like, why do people keep saying that's almond? Because I don't see it anywhere in Hebrew. But I think because of the references in these other languages, people go, it had to be connected to almond at some point, some way. So we're going to take a look at some of those. And one of these is this one. So in this video, and I have a link to this, but So it kind of goes into Bethel almond, the fruit of the almond tree. It's listed as choice fruit in 43:11. So did I pause this? No. So in Genesis 28:19, he called it loose. And then Genesis 35:6-7, he built an altar called the place El Bethel, which is house of God.
Yes.
So that's some of the places, and I highly recommend, I don't know if you had a chance to watch the video, Jake, but it's a good one.
Okay.
So, yeah. And that person just had, they put some good thoughts together about this, and they connected the Mount of Almonds. And so in Arabic, that's what Jabal Alaz means. So, and then you have the connection between the almond and the what we see later with Jacob and the flocks. And so we're going to take
fertility stick.
Yeah, that's kind of strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're going to break these down. And so will you read us about, I don't know, where need can to we put hide this? Now? So it'll be like that.
There, now. There.
So.
And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if Elohim will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall Yahweh be my Elohim. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be Elohim's house. And of all that you shall give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee.
Hmm. Yeah.
Stones do not make good pillows. I'm sure everyone knows that, but.
Yeah, I think the My Pillow guy would have something to say about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now you'll probably start getting advertisements for My Pillow, thanks to my conversation there. Geez. So, yeah, you're right. It's hard to be like, man, this I slept so good. This, you should try this stone, Jake. Yeah. It's so good. But here, borrow my pillow.
Yeah.
Did he say that?
No. I always might have. No, he made a tower out of it to last forever.
Yeah.
But I always thought this was kind of funny because he lays on a pillow and then he has a vision. Mm. Oh, he lays on a rock and then he has a vision. And I would think that if I was laying on a stone, it would be cutting off some blood flow to my brain. And maybe I'd be having some visions too.
Mm, maybe.
That's kind of always how
I
just thought of it. But we know this was a Yahweh-inspired vision, not a blood flow problem.
Yes, yes. This is the real deal for sure. But you get definitely this place. Was called almonds. And you can look that up. And it's pretty clear that word was called Almond Grove, or a place where there's almonds. It's definitely connected to the almond tree. And so here once again, you have this almond reference. But anyway, that's definitely interesting. And then you see it again in Genesis 35:6. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, which that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar, and he called the place El Bethel. And I didn't know if that was supposed to be one word or two word. I made it two because of my Spanish thinking. That's like El
Bethel. The Bethel.
That's what that is. Yeah. Because there Yahuwah appeared unto him, and when he fled from the face of his brother. So the house of God.
Right.
So we can go on to the next one. You can drive. Maybe.
There it is.
So in Exodus 14:2, you see they go to Migdal. Sure. And in 14:2, speaking to the children of Israel that they turn in and camp before, that's supposed to be Pharaoh, but I don't know where that spelling comes from. But
Pihahiroth. I thought that was a place.
Camp before. Oh, maybe it is, but I thought Pharaoh. Maybe it is a place. Yes, it is.
Although I've seen you spell Pharaoh that way.
Yes, probably have. So it's a place between Migdal and the sea, over against
Baal-Zephon.
Yeah. Before we shall encamp by the sea. So once again, you see this place, this word that can be translated almond. So
right. So this is 14. So this is after they leave, they camp at this place called Almond, between the almonds and the sea.
Maybe you should write a song about that.
Ooh. It's in woke, so no one else can steal that idea.
Almonds in the sea.
Right.
And then you see this, and remember, this was considered read this one, Exodus 2:14.
So tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pihahiroth between Migdal and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal-Zephon.
And just for a minute, do you think that name, that they're camping opposite, had some significance?
Every time I see this Baal, I think it's probably some bad stuff was going on there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely was done intention to be like, shots are fired, basically.
Yeah.
The enemy knew that he was up to something, and they were, he was paying attention.
Yeah.
And he wanted to make it obvious, I am opposite of you.
Yeah. And you're saying that this was an Egyptian watchtower.
Yeah. Possibly. So it was an outpost or a fort. And so you definitely have this connection that they camp next to this thing that's a watchful tower
that's an almond by the sea.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It has to be connected. And then I found this relief, and supposedly it came from Egyptian sources somewhere.
Well, I'm relieved.
Yes.
I know that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and this breaks down the Strong's word. And there's that alternative spelling. It says Migdol, and could have been an Egyptian origin, and considered a fortified city on the Egyptian border.
Right. So it has the translation of tower and watchfulness.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. They're very linked together.
Mm-hmm. And check it out. The stuff is right here at your fingertips. If you just type, if you just copy and paste or Google those words, you're going to find some of those same things. And I encourage you to check it out. Form your own opinion.
Yeah. And we're saying this looks like a tower.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of where this is Egyptian hieroglyphics. So if you can read stone drawings, then there you go. It's apparently all about Migdal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Supposedly.
Don't quote me on that. Okay.
So this house of Yahuwah, loose, you know, it goes back to the concept of being alert, watchful, like the Ammon. And I couldn't help but think of Gideon's. Would you read the scripture about Gideon and his men?
Yes. Judges 7:5-7. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There Yahweh told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink. 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. Yahweh said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home.
So how do you drink your water, Jake?
I do it like this.
Mm-hmm. I tend to look like Marco Rubio for a minute, but... so that's really old too, but I did think that was funny. I remember watching that live on TV and I was like, what?
You'd really going to town on that water.
Yeah. What happened?
We all get dry mouth, I mean.
Yes. Yeah. But it's an interesting concept. As a kid, boy, this story stuck with me. And I remember I had so many questions about it. It's just one of those really concrete, if you haven't taught this to your children, you've got to, because it sticks with you. I mean, I learned this as a kid and I remembered it, and you get such a good visual. And first off, you are like, most people drink their water like this.
Yeah. You don't get it.
Mm-mm. As a kid, you're like, wait a minute, you had to get on. What? And then somebody
says, wait, we're not allowed to drink out of the creek.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And they're just like face. I get, you know, don't you get the impression some of these guys are just like face first in the water.
Yeah. Yeah, we had one of the guys at Bible study in Pittsburgh. He'd always have like very animated way of doing this, and he'd go like that, like he's drinking like a dog, out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd go, and the other guys are watchful,
mm-hmm.
you know, drinking.
Yeah,
so yeah. It was a little disturbing, but you painted a good picture.
Yeah, no, but it is. It's exactly that picture. And also, once again, another story that gets ripped off. What story got ripped off of this? Came a movie.
You're probably thinking 300.
Yes. Yes. And the Greeks had this story. And, you know, it could have happened, I guess, for the Greeks, but I feel like they clearly ripped it off from Gideon.
Well, they also could have ripped it off from Moses, because he takes the 300 men.
Good connection.
And mm-hmm. smotes all the kings.
Smotes them
good.
Mm-hmm. but definitely there's a connection between being awake, being alert and watchful. And, you know, and this is another interesting moment where he wants people to know, this is from me. This is not you.
Yeah.
This is, you guys had very little to do with this. You just kind of did what I said, and I made this happen.
Yeah.
And he makes it very clear when he defeats a really large enemy with just a few guys. You know, 300 is a pretty small army. You know, most of us, if they're going to tell you, here we are, in France, in Normandy, France, and we're going to storm the beaches here. We got 300 people. We're going against the Nazis here. We got this. We don't need all those other guys. We don't need all that other stuff. We got 300 guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's obviously a miracle that gets mm-hmm. done here. And that whole story, you've got to read it if you haven't read it in a while.
Exactly.
And then this one, Genesis 30:37. And so this is the story where Jacob takes the rods of green poplar and of the hazel and the chestnut tree and piled white stakes in them and made the white appear. And so this would be like if you take a branch and you take your knife and you peel back that outside layer, which typically is brown, and you see white revealed. And that's basically what he did. He set
the cambium layer.
Ah, very good.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, sets the rods which he had piled before the flocks in the gutters of the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. So this is one of those things where I'm still like, what?
It's a very strange story.
Yeah, I want to try it, but I don't have almond trees or chestnut trees. But
right. Well, this says hazel, Matt.
Yes,
hazel. I'm confused now.
All right, so let's see what hazel is.
Oh, okay.
And then if you go look up hazel, the choice fruit, the almond branch. So hazel is H3869.
Okay.
And so if you go look that up, that was the reference in the video. You'll see a reference to, you can click through the next one.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll see that.
Hey, there it is.
The root word is connected to loose, most likely almond. So chase that rabbit, see if that's true.
Yeah. Most people you're saying take this when it says hazel there to be almond situation.
Almond branches.
Yeah.
And then you come back to the Shaked, Michael Heiser impersonation, but Strong's H8247, and then you've got the word Shaked. They're very similar. It's like potato, patata.
I don't know anyone that says patata.
Something like that.
But yes, it's very much like that.
Yes. Okay. And so you have the loose, the almond tree, house of God, and so but there's kind of the source material where that comes from. So then I thought of Jacob, Jacob's life. Jacob lived a life of watchfulness. If you listen to some of my earlier stuff, I talked about Jacob and Esau a lot. And so my aunt, Margaret Ann, she died a while back, and there was a post I did about her. And I talked about how she lived the life of a Jacob, and she was about her father's business. And mm-hmm. she had a brother who did not live the life of Jacob, who was like an Esau. And so I saw that in my own life, and there are probably people that fit these bills. That Jacob had a life of being watchful. His mother was watchful. She was watchful. She heard this conversation, and she had a plan. She took action on it because she knew the father, and she knew that Jacob, he had the fruits of being watchful, being prepared. And he's really the epitome of being watchful, being woke, being prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people take that her being watchful as like this deceit and trickery that shows bad on her and Jacob. But I think they were watching out for Yahweh's will to be done. And they knew that Esau did not care about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted to carry on Yahweh's will in the way that they saw and felt led to do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And Esau's life, he lived for the moment. He considered himself wise. He was self-reliant. He was prepared. A lot of people would see him as, I think he was prepared to fight. Prepared for action. He mm-hmm. seems like that kind of guy. And in reality, he wasn't, though. He wasn't truly, he might have been physically prepared, but spiritually he was not.
No. He wasn't even prepared to go hunting and come back to a meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he had the appearance of preparation.
Yeah. And so it's a good contrast just thinking about Jacob and Esau. But I do want to go back. There was one more thing I thought about Jacob here, and I don't know why I didn't put it in here. Joseph is what I meant.
Oh,
so
yeah, yeah.
Joseph, coming from his father, Joseph yet want to inherit, definitely received and believed that trait that he saw in his father, and he becomes, the very definition of someone that is awake and prepared and, woke.
Because,
he did. He prepared the way.
Right.
Which type in shadow of Yeshua preparing
right,
the way.
Right.
So you should study that too.
And we should be watchful for, Yahweh's plan unfolding and where he wants us to be next and what he wants us to be doing next.
Yeah. Yeah. And I keep going back to the concept of we should be more worried and watchful about what Yahuwah is doing and not what the enemy is doing. Cause we know, cause I told somebody the other day, I was like, she's a believer and she was, we were talking about the craziness of the world. And I said, you know what? Yes. I believe there's a lot of these conspiracy theories that are true. And I like a good conspiracy as much as the next guy and can kind of live in that conspiracy for a long time.
Yeah.
But I do have to kind of check myself because it's easy to be so lost in how evil and terrible. Well, hang on, back up, slow my roll is what I told her is because we know the enemy is out to kill us and out to destroy us. We know that. We don't have to go Google every conspiracy known to man and research this thing to come to the conclusion that somebody's out to get us.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah. And I think we tend to, in doing that, kind of put Satan and Yeshua like at a fighting against each other. Maybe. as if there's some kind of equality,
like power
equal
struggle,
and opposite power struggle. Right. Yeah. When really Satan has only the power he's been allowed to have. Mm-hmm. And there's really no,
for a limited
there's
time.
Really no contest there.
Yeah. It's already been done. It's won.
Yeah.
It's victory, game over.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah.
So we decided to do this in two parts, mm-hmm. right? And this will be part one.
Yep.
And then stay tuned for part two.
Yeah. So if you'll watch part two, and we'll have a link, hopefully like right in there that you can click
somewhere.
On. Mm-hmm. And, it'll be kind of a continue. We'll start with a menorah. And, so just kind of to recap, Jake, you know, we started talking about the concept was the rod and the staff. And we started looking at, the more we researched it, that's kind of where we started. And we found out that there's this thing with the almond tree and this concept of being watchful.
Yeah.
And so we haven't even really talked about the difference between the rod and staff yet, but we will.
I think that's coming up in the second part. So,
yes. But once again, we appreciate you tuning in to Sabbath Lounge. And so we continue to ask to use this as a resource. There's a lot of information. We have quite a few posts and all the different social media things that seem to matter in today's world. And we just have a lot of things to offer, and it goes on and it's searchable and just kind of everything in one place. And we just encourage you to go check that out. We really encourage you to subscribe. Click that subscribe button, please.
And if there's topics you want us to discuss in the future or things that you can think of to make the site better, let us know.
Yeah. And for some reason, I'm realizing there may be a mistake. Eventually, I was supposed to have our YouTube thing in there. I don't know why it didn't show up there. I'll fix that. But and if there's things like that you see, you know, please let me know. I'd be happy to fix it if, you know, definitely we're not perfect here and just doing the best we can. It made me think of Dukes of Hazzard for a minute. I don't know why. Just a good old boy.
I'm doing
the best we can.
Oh, okay.
So I spent a lot of time watching that show. Did you watch that show?
You know, not really.
Mm.
I didn't.
Mm. Yeah.
But my wife's family
I'm
big
too
fan
old.
Of
That's
the General
right.
Lee.
Yes, yes.
So,
yeah.
That's that show, right?
Yeah.
General Lee.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did have
that
car.
Was more my wife's side of the family. They were into all that.
By the way, the guy that was Bo, I think, blonde haired guy. He's a famous actor.
Bo Jackson?
No.
Is that what hurt?
No. He had a baseball bat or something.
Oh, okay.
So, but the guy that played Bo, he has a YouTube channel and he talks about, I've seen some of the YouTube things and he goes back to these places in California where they filmed it and talks about it.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
He's kind of interesting, but. Anyway, way chasing a rabbit trail.
Anyway,
we appreciate you being here. We
that's
appreciate you checking out Sabbath Lounge. And we just ask you to share this with someone, like it on Facebook, be our friend. So I will explain online. I'm Jorge Cook, but that's really me too.
Yes.
So it all makes sense.
The secret's out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. So, but if you've ever looked at my Facebook profile, you've seen that. So,
yes,
it's no secret, no mystery there. But we do appreciate you taking time, and stay tuned for part two, which is coming soon.
Soon.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.